Blog Talk Radio. All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the street queens.
And you are now tuned into Street Queens, the movement. And we would like to thank our sponsors, our number one sponsor, E2K Magazine, a woman's magazine telling you about everything to know about a woman. Log on to E2KMagazineOnline.com. Along with that, log on to www.lushradioonline.com. And also, we also want to thank Diverse Media Group, LLC, and HoneyManagement.net and ThinkBound, Inc. Earlier today, we had Miss America Metro DMV 2010 Live talking about her inspirational story of losing her mother at a young age and therefore, you know, inspiring her in her determination in order to make it. She has a master's degree, and along with that, she also, you know, is the reigning queen. And she's definitely giving back to children out there. So you can check out that show on the archives. Tonight's topic that we're talking about tonight is living with autism. A lot of children and a lot of adults are living with autism in the United States of America and all around the world. And it's something that most people are not aware about. There are different stages of autism, different kinds of autism, and I was blessed the fact to have to teach children with autism, and we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to inform you and give you information, and we're going to have some special guests tonight. We're going to have the wonderful Venom the Poet out of the Atlanta area, who is a mother of a child with autism, and we're going to talk about how she deals with that, and also, you know, some of the parenting skills and some of the help, you know, that she got when she was dealing with a child with autism. And we're also going to have Christina Mendez, spokesperson for autism. She's going to be live on here. CBS is doing a story on her. She's doing a celebrity puzzle for autism. She's going to be talking to us more about that. And also later on after that, in the next hour, we're going to have a women's panel with women, and we're going to talk to women in business and just, you know, talk about some of the adversity that they deal with. But we're going to go on the line and see if we got the beautiful queens live on the line with us on Street Queens, the movement. Peace, Queen Emma. Peace.
Peace, peace.
Peace, Queen. How you doing today?
I'm doing fab, man, because I'm just going to say I'm doing fab, because otherwise I'll start complaining and tell you everything else is wrong and depress everybody. I'm not going to do that today.
Definitely. Let's check if we have Miss Christina and Miss Venom live on the line with us tonight. Peace 404, you're live on the line with Street Queens, the movement. Peace, is this the wonderful Venom?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing today? How you doing, Queen? Peace.
All is love, sis. Peace. Is that the word? Peace. What's going on?
That's what it is. She's a wonderful poet, spokesperson, and activist for autism, and she's live on the line with us tonight, calling at 347-826-7722. And I think we have the beautiful Queen Christina live on the line. Christina Mendez, are you live with us tonight?
I sure am. How are you?
Greetings. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
It's an honor to have you live on the line with us tonight.
Thank you. It's an honor to be part of it. So I'm looking forward to the good conversation I know we're about to have.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And tonight, this is something that really touched me, autism, because actually I'm going back to school and I wrote a paper on autism, and it's so many different types of autism. And a lot of us are not aware, and some of us as individuals are sometimes narrow-minded and not trained to understand how to deal with a child that has autism. And sometimes even other peers of their age can be cruel and mean. Some parents are scared to take their children outside to interact with other people because they're scared of the reaction, you know. And the number one thing they usually say when you find out that your child has autism, they ask you to get a speech therapist and also get a psychologist. Most of the time you can detect it at a young age as a baby if they're not cooing and making certain syllables and noises at a certain expected time. Sometimes they might shy away and in regards to being sociable with, you know, other peers. But they're wonderful children. I had the blessing to teach children of autism. And they're wonderful children, and I call them normal just like everybody else, you know. And actually, as they grow older, it kind of lessens. So, but we're going to talk more, but I'm going to go ahead and give Christina the floor. Besides just speaking out for Actism for Autism, she's also a wonderful model, runway model, for several magazines, and also Ashley Stewart and many more. And you know, she's been on TV and several things, and she always has the wonderful birthday bashes, and she's live on the line with us. Christina, go ahead and take the floor and tell us about the celebrity puzzle that's going on with autism and everything, you know, that's going on with the whole cause that you got going on right now.
Sure. I'm one of the spokesperson for Autism Speaks. Is a national organization, and they have different chapters in different cities, and I happen to be part of the New York chapter. There is something new going on. It's called Puzzle Builders, and people can look it up at puzzlebuilders.autismspeaks.org. And we basically got different celebrities. We have Al Roker, David Beckham, I think that's his name, so sorry that I don't know. Jeff Gordon, we have Drake, we have Holly Robinson Peay, myself. A good, like, maybe 100 to maybe 150 celebrities have donated their pictures. And what we're doing is basically breaking down the pictures into a puzzle, and people have to purchase little pieces of the puzzle to fill in the blanks. I mean, it's just something fun to raise awareness. The symbol of the puzzle represents autism because it's so complex, and we don't have all the pieces to find a store for this. So we use puzzles to symbolize all the puzzles and all the differences with autism. So that's how we decided to bring along the Puzzle Builder. And people can just donate. I think it's about $10 per puzzle piece. And it's not much. It's not, you know, it's the holidays. I know, you know, it's rough on other people, but this helps a lot. The monies that are raised through Autism Speaks, through our walks, and now through Puzzle Builders are used for autism research to hopefully, you know, maybe not for my son and maybe not for the other person on the call. I'm sorry, your name is? The other mother?
Oh, this is... the other mother is Venom. She's a poet out in the Atlanta area.
Okay.
Venom, you guys want?
So like parents like me and Venom.
Yes, Venom for me. I'm sorry.
So sorry. So for parents like me and Venom, you know, our kids might not find the cure. The cure might not come before our kids can enjoy, you know, whatever this cure might be. But you know, Autism Speaks, you know, is giving money to help with the future with our kids' kids and our kids' kids to hopefully not have such a big epidemic how we're dealing with now with autism. So that's pretty much our mission. And, of course, we do a lot of outreach and, you know, we do different workshops to teach parents how to deal with getting diagnosed, early intervention information. And, again, it's a family because we are so affected by this disorder. We don't know what's going on. Our kids go through so many changes. So we need that support, and it's really good to come to an organization where people know what you're going through.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, it's sad that, you know, a lot of people aren't too aware of what autism is. And technically the definition of autism is a disorder of neural development characterized to impaired social interaction and communication and by restricted and repetitive behaviors. And sometimes there's a form of repetition, or they need to constantly do the same thing. Sometimes they grow attachment to certain items. And another thing, like if you're dealing with teenage children with autism, sometimes it's definitely a situation when it comes with their hormones and things of that sort. So it's nothing that right now at the moment I feel like they have a cure for, but dealing with a child that has autism, you can actually train them to live a normal life like everyone else. And I'm going to go ahead and throw it over there to Venom. Venom, also Patrice, I would like to ask you, you know, having a son with autism, how were you able to deal with that, and when did you first find out or you were aware that something was wrong?
Let me see. Okay, this is Venom. And basically, my son, I was pregnant. I gave birth at 6 months. He was a preemie. So he was 3 months premature. He was born with water on the brain, fluid on his lungs, 3 holes in his heart, kidney stones, a double hernia, weighed 1 pound, 15 ounces. So he was in the NICU for about 4 months. So I always knew that, you know, there was going to be some type of difficulties, but I wasn't for sure what they were, you know. So at the age of 1.5, he was diagnosed with autism, but it was something that I recognized early on, maybe like 7 months, maybe even as early as 9 months, where when they're small, they don't speak, so most of the time they just react to, like, movement. They follow you with their eyes. And all of my children were preemies, so I knew all of them would be different, but this one was just very, very different. You know, he had a visiting nurse, an apnea monitor, you know, things that didn't have anything to do with him being diagnosed with autism, but he was just a sickly child. So it was just one day I was washing dishes. I dropped a skillet, you know, and he was the only one in the house who didn't jump. And he would never, like, smile, show any type of, you know, signs of affection, like smiling, laughing, or, like, following you with his eyes. So that was when I knew, like, early on, about 7 months, 9 months, and I just wouldn't take no for an answer that something was wrong. I didn't even know what autism was. I had never heard of it before until my son was diagnosed with it. So it was about 9 months old when he was diagnosed, basically when I was aware that something was different. But he was diagnosed and tested when he was 1.5. And he's been in school since he was 2. He's 17 now. So he's been in school ever since he was, you know, 2 years old, for 15 years.
Wow.
That's totally different how I learned. But, yeah, that's just the way with autism. You just, different things happen.
Yeah, and he's on no med. No, my son doesn't take any medications. Those are things that were brought up when he was small. They wanted to put a shunt in his head to drain off the fluid. I declined. You know, I let them fix his hernia because he had a double hernia when he was born, and his eye because he had laser surgery on his eye. But the meds was just something that, you know, when you hear the word Ritalin, just the way the word sounds, you know, it's a Schedule II narcotic. I don't even think that we should be giving that to our babies, you know. And it's just crazy because it's heavily diagnosed with our little boys. And if we keep allowing them, these pharmaceutical, you know, companies to, you know, medicate our boys, like, how are we going to reproduce? You know what I mean? So I declined all of that.
I did the same thing. My son was diagnosed when he was 2, but different than you, I had no idea he had autism because at 2 there was really not much. He was smiling, he was happy, he used to hug, he used to kiss. It was total opposite. And the reason they diagnosed him was because he was not focusing. And I just thought that was really, it was hard to believe, but, you know, in time he did develop to show, like, characteristics of autism, more about his speech. It affected more his speech. But socialized, he was extra sociable. I mean, he wants to be around people. Even though he couldn't speak, he wanted to be around people and wanted to be in the mix. And, you know, that was always hard for me to watch because as a parent, you got to see other kids. Like, what? You don't even speak. Like, get away from me, you know. He didn't really speak till he was 6 years old, so he wanted to hang out with six-year-olds where, you know, six-year-olds are talking, they're yapping, you know, they're cruel at that age. So they would always be like, why is he, you know, what's wrong with him? What's, like, they would come up to me like, what's wrong with me with him? And he'll be with a big smile like, you want to play with me? I'm like, he does not want to play with you. And he'll, like, smile because he couldn't speak to me, but, like, from his facial expression, it's like, he's cool. Like, he likes me. I'm like, Damien, he's not feeling you right now. You got to, you know, come over here. Let's hang out. So that was always hard for him. But now he's 13. He speaks Spanish, English. He does sign language because they thought he would never speak. So they just taught him that. They figured he won't speak, but he's like a chatterbox, and he doesn't be quiet now. It's a totally different.
Well, they give you options. You know, like one of the options they gave me was a communication board, and I even declined that. I was like, no, he's going to speak. You know, and like how they have the little baby, my baby can read thing going that everybody's all ordering. Like, I've been on that. All I needed to do was patent it. People would come to my house and there would be signs that said TV, door, cup, you know, things like that. So my son has been reading long before he could speak. He actually was singing before he could talk. He was harmonizing songs. And when I used to hear him kind of like harmonize them, they weren't the actual words, but he would be melodically humming the song. And I told my mom then, I was like, he's going to speak, you know, because he's harmonizing the melodies to these songs. You know what I mean? So that told me that he could sing, but it just wasn't verbal then. And my son didn't speak until he was 5 also.
Definitely. And you know what, ladies, the crazy thing about it is that the misconception of what people limit children with autism. They think they can't do certain things, they can't do this, they can't talk, they can't write their own paragraphs, they can't do this. But as I have learned in experience, you can train these children to, like I said, to live a normal life. I had two different children. One was a senior in high school, and he and there's different types. You have some that are very highly intelligent, but they restrain from social interaction. They're more shy, and they stay to themselves, and they stay isolated. Now, you have other children who are very friendly. They want to give you the high five and everything like that, but they still might have the babbling of some sort, or they might do redundant things over and over. Most of the time they'll follow order. Some children even have slight autism, and you would never even think that they have autism, but they have a slight autism. And the one child that I had, he was a senior in high school. He had all A's, you know, and he looked very normal, but you could tell in his interaction with people, he was so shy. He would rather stay to himself than interact with people. But he was a highly intelligent young man. Now, my other child that I had, Daryl, he had more of the gestures. His hands would flap and everything, and he would do certain redundant and line things up. He liked coloring. He liked the line, a lot of stuff. He was 18 years at that time. A lot of the people thought that he couldn't speak. I said, Daryl, you need to speak and talk and tell me. He would respond to the things that I would tell him. He could use the calculator on his own without me telling him. He could do two-digit addition and multiplication. So you have different types of autism. It comes in slight and it comes in severe, you know, and it's good for the parents to be aware and to catch this at an early time so they can be able to help their child be able to transition through life, you know, dealing with this situation, autism. And the worst thing that I hate the most is the IEPs. And my partner over here of Street Queens, the movement, Emma, she has a child with cerebral palsy. But even with the same thing, she has trained her child, you know, also. So I know she can relate to the same situation. Emma, you want to touch bases on what the ladies are talking about?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, especially when it comes to the IP and the school system, because the school system is garbage. And, you know, all they're worried about is, you know, that your child goes in, takes a certain amount of days to go to school because they get funding, you know, school gets funding. So that's all their main concern. Like, they don't really, I don't see that they really care too much as far as, like, their needs. If they need whatever, they need physical therapy or speech or whatever it is that, you know, their IP calls for. And they just want to kind of pass the buck. You know, the No Child Left Behind law, too, kind of plays a role because they just want to, you know, again, pass them and not worry about, is the child even learning? Does the child even belong where you have them at? Like, around certain, you know, individuals. They have the inclusion now that they want to include kids that have a whatever problem with kids that don't have problems and think that they're not going to get bullied or picked on or whatever. Hello, yes, they are. You know, you don't want to treat them different, but regardless of whatever they are, and you have to protect them. You can't just throw them to the wolf. These kids are cruel. These kids, oh, my God, in school, you know, they're, like, very vicious. They say a lot of vicious and mean things that children that have a handicap don't really, you know, they see with love. And they, like a young lady that was on prior was saying about her son wanting to play with other kids and, you know, and him not understanding why the kids don't want to play with him or don't, you know. But he's so concerned about just want to play and, you know, and smiling and, you know, and that's how they act because they just want to be accepted. They just want to have the other kids, you know, yeah, play with me or whatever, you know. But, of course, they think they're on a whole different level, you know. Most of them, you know, are a lot of years behind, although physically they look like the other children. Some do, some don't, you know. But that, too, becomes a problem when, you know, when physically they look at the kid like, all right, whatever, and then when they start talking to them, it's like, what's wrong with them, like, you know? And then you have to go through this explaining, or the child feels bad and comes home, and, you know what I'm saying? And it's just, I don't know, it's just become so complicated. Like, I'm going through it right now with the Philadelphia school system here because my child has cerebral palsy, and they have that inclusion. They have her in a sixth grade class. Mind you, these sixth graders are talking about, you already know, more than Hannah Montana, they're talking about, you know? And my daughter watches the Disney Channel. So she can relate to what they're talking about as far as kissing and all type of other stuff. You know what I mean? Like, they go out, they outside in the street hanging out, whatever. My daughter doesn't even leave the house because she can't without me, you know? So it's just hard, man. It's just hard when everything is left to you as a parent and you have to be, you know, your child's advocate. Sometimes it's like you're the only one that's advocating for your child, you know?
Amen.
And it gets tiring, too. Like, yeah. It just gets tiring. You're like, am I the only one? Like, you know, sometimes you feel like that. You feel like, am I the only one that sees that there's something wrong with the system and all that?
I went through that this year, so I know exactly what you mean. This year was actually harder than every year because my son went from, you know, middle school to now, you know, the 7th grade, 8th grade, so he was going into high school, and we couldn't find him a school. Like, the transition between children going into the other level with autism, because it was so popular now, you know, they have all the great programs for the little kids coming up. They have a million little preschools, kindergarten, early start program, but when it comes to getting older, the disorder is kind of growing with our kids, so it gets really hard to find a school that fits their needs. And the first school they send me to, of course, you know, the Board of Ed just being cheap. Oh, we have a perfect program. It's inside a public school. You know, at first you can't deny it because they'll say why. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. I knew I wasn't feeling it from the beginning. I knew that I was going to have to fight. I knew this was going to be a long one. Mm-hmm. I sent him the first day. The first day he got hit in the ear. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh,
the second day I went to the school and they had metal detectors. It was at a high school, like Stuyvesant High School in New York, like metal detector, police officers with guns in the front door, like just straight, totally different than the school he just came from. So he was like freaking out. I was freaking out. Second day, someone hit him again. I was like, this is ridiculous. So I pulled him out. I was like, you know what? We're going to have this meeting. Like, they wanted to reschedule my meeting a week later. I'm like, listen to me. I'm not sending him to the school. We need this meeting, like, ASAP. So they were threatening me with, you know, educational neglect. I was like, there's no way in hell I'm not sending him. And
they didn't send you to the truancy court?
They were threatening me because I said I wasn't going to send them. They said, well, if you don't send them, do you know that it'll be educational neglect? I said, well, call it what you want because I'm not sending him. And the only reason why, then, to make a long story short, I had to homeschool him. So they had to send me packages to homeschool him because we didn't find a school for over 2 months. It was back and forth fighting. They kept on giving me other schools. I was like, nope, nope, nope. I knew exactly the kind of school that I wanted and the funding. They would have to pay for it because it wasn't a public school. And they had paid for his schools before, so I knew that it could be done. They were just being super difficult. And it was getting to the point where I probably needed a lawyer, but I came with all my paperwork. I had his doctor's notes saying what he needs. It was like if you use your doctor and make his education like a prescription, they can't really deny it. They'll fight it, but if it's a prescription like your son needs this type of environment with these kind of teachers, with this kind of hours, of like make it as a prescription, it's a medical need, and they won't deny it, at least in New York. That's my tip.
Can I ask you something about the homeschooling? Because that's where I'm at right now. I'm actually in the middle of that. I know it's a parent's right. It's definitely a parent's right to homeschool your child. Well, in some states, because some states are different. I know in the state that I'm in Philadelphia, it's definitely, you know, a parent has the right to homeschool their child. Right now I'm going to truancy school, too, because on top of that, she's experiencing seizures. So when she catches seizures and all that, I don't send her or I'm running back and forth, you know, getting all this to the neurologist and all this stuff. Can you believe that because she's in the inclusion class, they don't see the school didn't notify the Board of Ed, the Board of Ed that she's a special need child. So now I have to go to court to explain why she's missing so many days in school. Can you believe that?
That's ridiculous. Like, you should have been on
injury?
The IEP, like on the IEP where it says health issues, it says, does this child have any restrictions to things? It should have been checked so they know that he has restrictions and he has...
Well, the school messed up. But the school messed up. The school failed to notify because, again, she's in an inclusion class. So if she's in a regular class, let's per se. She's not in a special needs class. So automatically,
do you want her to be there? Or
no,
do you want her
No, but they say that that's part. All the kids that have a condition. All of them are in inclusion classes right now. That's what I'm. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
like,
doing right now.
Like my advice to you, if you're in Philadelphia, if you could look at different private schools, like look up, you know, your child's disorder and look at different private schools. If you call, like, their counselors, most likely they know how to get the board to pay for you to go there. One, they want that money, and two, you know, most likely is not everyone just paying for that. They want to fill in that space. So they'll help you. Like, they'll help you by calling the board, by setting up an appointment. They sometimes even give you someone from the school to come as your advocate to be like, look, she has to be in this school because look at her medical records. You can't take care of her if she has a seizure. People in this public school do not have the skill sets to take care of a child with a medical need like that. Like, that's just beyond. So, I mean, other children, like, she could, like, the baby could hurt herself or the kids. Like, while she has her seizure, and it's not going to be her fault, but they're putting everyone at risk to have your baby there. So if I was you, just Google that and then call that school and say, look, this is what's going on. I'm in a homeschool, but I'm trying to get into your school. Do you guys partner up with the Board of Ed so they can give me a voucher to get? I think it's called the Nixon letter, and that's like a voucher that the Board of Ed pays private schools.
Nixon letter.
Ladies,
okay.
Ladies, 1 second. If we have a caller live on the line, real quick, we're going to bring him in a quick second. If you're joining us right now, we're talking about living with autism. Right now we have the spokesperson of Autism Speaks, Christina Mendez. She's live in the building with us and sharing her experience. Along with that, we also have Venom, the poet. She also has a child with autism. And we have our street queen, Emma, live in the line. And we're talking, to educate you guys more on autism. And if you're a parent, having a child that has a child with autism, how you can deal with it, and certain situations they go through, you know, dealing with their child, you know, and dealing with these IEPs. We got a caller from the 347 peace, King, talk to us. You have a question for Christina or Venom?
First of all, Lush, what's good? It's Bad C, a.k.a. Nicholas Cage. I just called to say what up and check on you.
Pleasure. Thank
make
you.
Make sure that, no doubt, make sure you good and all that. You know, I want to also salute the ladies. Y'all are very strong women. A very good friend of mine has a son with autism as well. And, you know, she's really going through it. And I salute her. I'm really proud of her. Because of the way that she deals with it and does everything with a smile. You know what I mean? And one thing she told me, she said, look, you know, my issues and the things that I have going on with myself, you know, are nothing compared to what he goes through, you know. So every day she wakes up and when she's stressed out or whatever, she looks at him and sees how strong he is and it motivates her to move about her day. So you know, I salute y'all. I salute her. And, you know, God bless y'all. God bless everybody. God bless everybody, even the adults with autism. You know, God bless everybody, you know. But, Lush, yeah, I was just calling to say hello and shout you out, make sure that you all right. Last time I spoke to you, you wasn't really doing too well, you know, but it's all good. And glad
Thank
to be
you.
Back, babe. Love ya.
Thank you. Love you to death, too, C, man. I thank you so much for calling in. You know, we always got love for you, man. And, yeah, these are very strong women, you know, dealing with that. Being a mother in general, being a woman is definitely, you know,
yeah.
A big thing. And for them, being strong women and taking care of these children, you know, with the utmost love and everything, you know, I salute all of them.
Well,
Lush,
you know what?
First of all,
you know, I come from a single parent household. You know, my mother raised me and my sister, and you know, I give her Father's Day cards. You know what I mean? Because she was the father. You know, and being a mother, period, is a lot of work. It's hard work, and it needs to be saluted, and it really needs to be held up. More than it actually is. You know, nowadays you got kids and teenagers and they real disrespectful and they talking to their mothers crazy and stuff like that. And I don't know, it's just something about mom that melts even the hearts of the gangsterest gangsters. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man, like that's mom. We wouldn't be here without that. Like that's the soil that we were planted in and she gave birth and we're here. And it wouldn't have happened without her, you know. And so definitely to take it a step further, you know, to have a child with that condition is I don't have any kids myself, you know, but I can only imagine, you know. I used to sit and watch how my mother used to have, you know, she bust her ass, you know. I remember being young and she was working in the gas station cleaning toilets. You know, and cleaning all that just to make sure we ate. You understand what I'm saying? So just salute to y'all, man. Salute to y'all. And don't let anybody ever take away your thunder and keep doing what you do because God sees you. And even if people don't say it, other people see you too. You know, and your child sees it. And your child will appreciate that, you know. So that's it. I'm not going to stand on
Thank
the soapbox
you.
For too much longer, you know.
Definitely salute to you, King, for real. You know, definitely salute to you, King. The question for all, for you ladies, Venom and Christina, is as mothers dealing with a child with autism, what are some of the biggest adversities when it comes to them being in their teenage years or preteens, you know, developmental and also like hormonal, you know, with dealing with their peers at their puberty stages? Christina?
I think your partner kind of mentioned it, which is true. Like before they were little, so all that stuff was a little forgiving, like, oh, you know, talks, you know, like that, it's okay. You know, he acts like that. It's a little bit more forgiving, but when they're bigger than, like, he's bigger than me. He's like 5'8". I think he might be 5'9" now. 180 pounds, like, it's a totally different thing when he's like, hey, look at Barney, like, just different things amaze him. So that's a whole different level. Like, I'd be like, oh, he's just kidding. Like, you know, it's like we just joking around. I'm like, you joking around, right? But, yeah, no, he's not. So, you know, it's just that makes it harder for him to be accepted to just be him. I try to encourage him to just be himself. Like, I didn't give him any drugs because I didn't want it to change his mood, because they said if you give him drugs, like, some of the side effects was, you know, depressed or, you know, grumpy, and that's not his character. He's just like his mom. We're both Pisces. We're extra sociable. We love to be in the mix. We love to be in the middle. So I didn't want to change who he is. So the biggest part is, you know, trying to encourage him to be who he is, but then condense it to, okay, that it might not be appropriate in this kind of venue to talk about these things. You know,
hold up, Christina. You a Pisces. You know me and Emma is Pisces. What birthday? What day?
March,
Christina.
March 13.
March 19. March.
March.
Where are you?
Okay, so my son is March 19th. So March 13th
wow.
to March
19th. Oh, wow. Me and him got the same. That's crazy.
Wait a minute, so, you know, we're extra sociable. So imagine
my son is a Pisces as well. He is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's February 25th. February 25th.
Wow.
Wow, this is a Pisces thing going on over here.
I know.
I'm February 18. My daughter's February 23rd.
Wow.
Wow.
But, yeah, so you know us. You know, we're sociable. We're friendly. Like, that's just our character. Yeah. We're giving. We're caring. And that's how he is. Like, and I never wanted to change him. So just the hardest things is just trying to, you know, promote, be you, but don't do that, not now, at least, you know, but that's just the way he is. Like, last year we went to the Yo Gabba Gabba concert. We were the only grown people there, and his mom is a fool, me, so I'm here dancing with him. Like, I'm just like, be you. Like, yeah, we're rolling here. We're rolling with DJ Lance, things that we're not supposed to be dancing to, but we paid $50, and we're going to enjoy this just like all the other little kids around us. And, I mean, I know other parents was like, are you serious? Like, you are in my way. My little three-year-old can't see. I'm sorry. Like, it is what it is. We're dancing. Get up. Bring your kid up. Have fun because we're here. And we have the glasses on. We, you know, I just try to encourage him to be himself. So that's probably my hardest challenge is now, to just be himself, a condensed version of it.
We had an off the line conversation, me and Beatrice, aka Venom, and we were talking about her son when he was talking about he was going on a date. You want to share about that one, Venom? Talking about
Well, see, my son's a little bit older now, so he's 17, so he is starting to grow into the quote unquote man thing, because he gets on his Xbox and any game that's going to be on TV, he makes sure that he plays it on his game later on, keeps the score from the real game on TV, and he keeps score from the game that he plays on his Xbox. And he's into, you know, certain things. He takes our King magazines, you know. There was one with Sierra on the front of it
King
in
magazine?
And he hid that one up under his bed.
Oh, no.
But the most part, you know, he has two girlfriends, he says. One's name is Diamond, one's name is Deja. And we were walking to the store the other day, and, like, because I hug him a lot, you know, just to teach him to be affectionate.
Venom, did you say King Magazine?
King Magazine, yes. And there was one with Sierra on the front of it with a lollipop, and that was his favorite one. And and he was just looking at it. I even photographed him with it, sitting in a chair, just reading the Sierra magazine. He talks about it all the time. Like, if I give him a hug, you know, because I always tell him things like, you need to keep Carmex on your lips because your lips are cracking. Who's going to want to give you a kiss? Don't you want to kiss somebody? And he's like, yes. You know, so he'll sneak in my Carmex and he'll use it to death, use it up, you know, things like that. But for the most part, you know, he's always talking about he wants to go on a date. So he was like, I'm going on a date. He just said it, like, out of the blue. And I'm like, oh, really? With who? And he was with Deja. I said, where are you going? He was like, to the movies. I'm like, to see what? Shrek Forever? I'm like, is she going to like that? He's like, yeah. So then, like, one day out of the blue, we were talking, and he just you know, out of the blue, he said he was going to a strip club. And I said, what strip club are you going to? And he said, pinup. And I'm like, how does he know to say that? So I know that he's aware of, you know, things sexually. And it's like what you said, when they're young, it's cute. But I noticed that when I used to braid hair when he was small, women would come over with sandals on and they would have their toes painted or the little anklet braces. And he would hold their feet and rock on the floor. And then I didn't mind because he was like 3, 2, you know, maybe 4. I didn't mind, but like now that he's older, you know, I know he does things for self-stimuli because there are times when, you know, maybe this is TMI, but he'll like close his bedroom door. So, you know, it's not really too much we can do about it. You know, I'm just glad he's safe. He's in the house, you know, making himself happy or whatever it is that he does. You know what I mean? But you do have to kind of like monitor them. You know what I mean? Because they may not know that some of the things that they do, you know, is inappropriate. Okay. Because sometimes, like, when he'll go to kiss me, you know, I have to make sure he kisses me, like, on my cheek. You know what I mean? Because we do have, like, a really close, intimate relationship because it's just he and I. There's no other children here. It's just we spend a lot of time together. When I'm out and about, I'm teaching him life skills, and I talk to him just like I'm talking to y'all. You know, I don't do the moo-moo. Gaga, wee-wee, never did it, you know, because I want him to have normalcy in his life. So I talk to him. I haven't talked to him about sex yet, but I say little things that have sexual content in them, but it's in a respectable manner. You know, like if he's in the bathroom and he just leaves the door open, you know, I may say, close the door. I don't want to see all that. Put that up, you know, and he'll laugh sometimes. You know what I mean? So he's aware of what's going on. I don't, as far as an outlet, I don't know, because there's a girl at his school now that he keeps saying that she's his girlfriend, and she's like, I don't like you, and he'll just laugh and keep saying, you're my girlfriend, you know, so.
Yeah, I got a little girl that has a crush on him. Like, she's been calling the house, and they take pictures together, and she puts it on Facebook. You don't have a Facebook page, but she'll tag me to it. Like, I'm like, oh, wow. And then his father's like, oh, like his father's putting comments like, that's my boy. I'm like, that's her Facebook. She's only 14. Like, don't be putting stuff. Her parents have to be like, what do you mean that's my boy? Like, what are you talking about?
And my son is
so naive to that. Like, I'm like, do you think she likes you? I was like, he says, like a friend. I'm like, nah, that little girl's a little fast. In my head, I'm thinking, like, nah, I'm thinking she's liking you.
You know, that's real scary because you guys have boys. I have a female. Like, I have a daughter. So how dangerous is that? Like, when they called me in the school and she got caught in the hallway, she was kissing in the closet in the staircase.
What?
So they caught her?
They
call her in the hallway. She was kissing, but yet she doesn't know what she was doing. She was doing it because other kids were telling her, oh, do it, do it. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, Lord. And then, you know, like, these are natural things that they're feeling, like, you know, like they feel. So what do you, you know, you can't really make it, oh, no, that's bad, because it's really not. It's natural. So it's like, oh, my God, you damn if you do, you damn if you don't. Like, I don't want to really condone and be like, yeah, there you go with your feelings. But then, you know, I don't want her in a hallway or in a closet somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Her feelings, you know what I mean? So.
And some of these nasty boys out here, you know, God forbid, some of these boys out here that they consider them normal or whatever, you know, will take advantage. It's a little bit better when they are boys, you know what I'm saying? But, like, they will take advantage of these young girls and stuff, because I had another child. She was a girl, and her hormones, like, especially special need children, their hormones are even amplified even more.
Because
it's almost like a savage, untamed thing that they cannot control, you know? They can't control
it. It's a part of the brain when they have those conditions. It's you know, it's already medically known that part of the brain, whether it be retardation, autism, all that, is just something, is a certain part of their brain. That they, it's like this sex drive or whatever. It's like in multiples, like by a thousand, you know, like from the average person. So
yeah, I had this one girl. Oh God, she would get into. It's almost like she was in heat, and she would start the gyrating, and she would take her shirt off, and the teachers would be scared because I'm the only one that would calm them down, and she'd go to the boys and say ha 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 ha, and I'm like. I said, Jazzy, I said, you got to stop. You got to calm her down. And you had to calm her down because she'd get wild with it. And, you know, and I'm like, you know, I would have to escort her to the bathroom because, you know, God forbid, there might be some nasty boy that might take advantage of that. And she won't know any difference because it's in a natural hormone to do stuff, you know, just, you know, find something to you know, for your stimulation. So, and then the younger boy the other boy that I had that was 18, his stimulation, he would actually literally be in the classroom and we'd be sitting at the desk doing work. And I'm like, you know, we're doing work and he's down there, you know, taking care of himself. And I'm like, no, stop, you know, stop. And you have to tell them to stop because they don't know any different if it's wrong or right. And sometimes when you go to the bathroom, he's standing there for like hours, so I don't know what's going on up in there. You know, I'm like, are you gonna come out?
Yeah, they so I guess it, you know, like you said, it's like a, because there's a spectrum. They come in so many different. Like my son never did that. I would freak the hell out, and he did get beaten just like a regular child. But no, there's. No way. Like just, so he'll hold it inside, I'm assuming. He knows that much to hold that part inside.
Well, that's a good thing, because you know what, you know, and what I've read in statistics, as they get older, and you know, some of them, they might not always live independently, but there are people who have lived as adults with autism that have lived independently, but they, as they grow older, they say that it decreases and stuff. As you sit there and you train them into their adulthood, most of the times they become successful and they're able to do independent things themselves. But like with one of the children that I had, there was basically with him, you would actually have to like, he always would have to have somebody around him. But with the other child, he would actually be able to actually live a normal life. He might be still a little bit shy, but he would be able to live a normal life and be able to actually function on his own. You know, so you have severe cases and you have slight severe cases, you know, so it's all about, you know, and it's also about the parents and how much they care. Because number one thing is parents have to care a lot when it comes to children with special needs, because I see a lot of parents neglect their children. You know, and, you know, the good thing that, you know, your children have, you know, wonderful parents like you guys, but, you know, you have other children that don't have that, you know. Where do you guys as women have, like, outreach places that other parents can go to? Are there any, like, workshops in you guys' areas or everything, or that parents with, you know, children with autism can go to or anything like that, ladies?
Well, I do the Autism Speaks, and they have different groups, and they have pretty much a chapter in most of the major cities. So if anyone needs support, they can go to autismspeaks.org and look at the local chapters and contact them to see when they have meetings and so on.
Okay,
I know in Atlanta, they have the Marcus Institute, which is a place that is just set up primarily for children with autism, but I have had issues with finding a support group. When I lived in Kansas City, Missouri, I was a member of the Northwest Autism Consortium. Since then, since I've moved to the South, the only support group that I found was up out of Spartanburg, South Carolina, which was the Parent Connection. But, like, living here, I haven't found anything. And I will say that, you know, no pun intended to the, you know, special needs department of the school district here, but they lack the educated teachers to teach our children with autism. I used to think like he was the only person in Georgia with autism because they would move him from school to school just to try to, you know, meet his educational goals. Like nobody had a criteria. They basically had to build, you know, an IEP, which is what they do. You know, each child is different or whatnot, but he changed so many schools, you know. Most of the ISP, you know, the teachers that were advocate for him were undereducated. A lot of them weren't even educated. There would be classrooms where the teacher wasn't trained to work with autism, but there would be parents that are trained to work with autism. I mean,
yeah.
I just thought that was crazy. In the South, like, for this to be a primarily, you know, quote unquote, and it has nothing to do with race or whatnot, you know, but for it to just be so many different black colleges and so many schools here in Atlanta, Georgia, it's like almost the dumbest state that I've ever lived in. You know what I mean? Is like it's for especially for educating, you know, our youth, our special needs. But when you look at how they do the quote unquote regs, go figure. You gotta really, really hope and pray, you know, for your children that are up under the, you know, special needs umbrella.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. And another thing that I say is parents that are listening tonight, you can call in at 347-826-7722. You have to be your child's advocate. They have no one else to rely on. They need you to be their advocate, you know. And, you know, sometimes, you know, and some of these children might be being abused in school and stuff like that, and they won't tell you everything. So sometimes you also have to open that relationship with your child to be able to communicate and understand, you know, what's going on so they can express themselves, you know, with them. And you know, and if you feel like you're having a hard time with these schools, you know, like Christina suggested and Emma suggested, sometimes you might have to get the homeschooling for your child, especially for your child's safety, because some of these children are very mean. And I can honestly say, dealing with special needs, being a one-on-one and dealing with these children, honestly, like Beatrice said, a lot of these teachers that are special needs teachers have no training on dealing with these children. And half of the time, it's not really training, it's common sense. You need to have patience. You need to ask these children what they want, what they need. And half of the time, they don't care. All they want is a paycheck. They just want their funding. They could care less.
And something, you know, the sad
reason why I had to get out is because it was hurting me too much to see how they didn't care, and I had to leave it alone. I had to go because it's like, you know, it's, you can say but so much, but that's when they shun you away, when you work too much or the children like you too much and you're helping them to develop and get better, you know, to advance. You know, they hate you in the school system, you know, so it's crazy. I've never seen no mess like that before, you know.
Yeah,
it's sad.
Something that I want to share with everyone, that probably that's why I was like extra cautious this year when we did the changes, but when my son was first diagnosed, when he was 2, and he was starting like preschool like a year later after he was diagnosed, they put him right in public school. And, you know, I didn't know no better. I didn't know about, you know, IEPs. I didn't know none of that stuff. Like, that was my first experience. And a week in, like, he was getting bruises on his legs, but he's like little, maybe 3, bare, you know, he doesn't speak at all. 3, he was getting bruises on his legs, and they kept on saying that he was biting himself, and I was like, he was biting his thigh? Like, how, really? Like, first, you don't do that at home, but biting his thighs in school, that was, like, awkward. So he was just getting, like, every day it was something new, but he couldn't speak to me at all. No gestures, no sign language, nothing. Just maybe his first week of school. Like a week and a half of school, I was just like, something is seriously not wrong. I'm not feeling right. Every time I leave him, he just looks at me with those eyes but couldn't tell me anything, couldn't express anything. I was like, I feel like, I kept telling everybody, I feel something's wrong. They're like, you know, it's his first year. You're being a new parent. You're overreacting. It can't be that much. They're just coloring. Why are you acting up? Like, it's not real school like that. Long story short, they called me from the emergency room. And
oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
Just tell me what's going on. What happened? Like, his father, he's like, just come to emergency room. I'm like, look, I'm going 190 on this highway. You better tell me, is he alive? He's like, he's alive. Just relax. Don't worry about it. When I got there, he was in surgery because, allegedly, because he couldn't speak until this day. He still won't tell me. But he or someone put his finger inside the hinges of the door, the Board of Ed doors, those big steel doors, and it completely broke his index finger, like completely. They had to operate to reattach it. So that's when he was 3 years old. So since then, anything that I feel a little hinge of I'm not feeling right about it, I just remove them. Like, you know, like it was a big lawsuit with me and the Board of Ed, so they know. I'm like, don't play with me, parent, because you're already messed up when I trusted you. So now I don't take it. So that's what I'm telling Emma, girl. You better get your daughter out of that inclusion stuff. And I was looking online for you. They got a school called HMS School for Cerebral Palsy up in Philly, and they do that. And I have a whole list already of approved private schools for you that they will pay for that. because medically they cannot take care of your daughter. So do not go, okay. Do not happen to what happened to me, because I just let it pass by and let it pass by. I don't want that to happen to anybody.
Give me your email so I can email you and you can pass me that information on.
My email is Christina Mendez. Like my spelling, Christina Mendez, Mendez,
uh-huh.
And then press, press,
uh-huh.
At gmail.com.
Gotcha. I'm emailing you right
now.
I'll
send it to you right now, and it's a whole list. And then when you go to the Board of Ed, I mean, my recommendation is to call these schools that's in your area that, you know, try to go visit them, because, you know, don't even trust the private schools because you just can't trust anybody. Just go visit them. Say, I want to go visit them. I'm thinking of going there. And then you speak to the counselor. You show them your IEP. They grant all IEPs, so anything you have in there, they will grant it. And then you say, you know, I need help. I want to put her in this school. I need your help to get the Board of Ed on board so they can pay you guys to get my daughter in the school. But just don't do what I did, which I was like, all right, let me wait. And it was an exclusion thing, and the other children there had other disabilities, but they were more, like, physical. They'd been abused before. They were being hurt. Like, that's not him. So they were basically abusing him at school. So,
I'm going through the bullying too. She's being bullied.
Yeah, of course. Because that's not, like, those people are not, you know what I mean? Every child is different, and they need different, you know, everything should be tailored. This is not a cookie-cutter life, especially when your child has a disability. You can't just put every child together. It is what it is. And you just, there's a list, babe. There is a whole bunch of schools in Philly, and that was just me Googling it, like, in a second. So I will send you all that I have, and you can call me anytime.
I'm emailing you right
now. Yo, Christina, you were the bomb, girl. You were the freaking bomb.
I don't play that. I don't play with no kids. I love kids. I don't have no kids. Nobody else's kids. No kid is going to go through the stuff my baby went through.
Christina pulled out. She said, I got the whole list for you already. Like, come on, son. Where you live at? I need to call in and ask her. You can pull it out. She ain't playing no games.
I tried doing that, too. But and let me know when you get my email, please.
All right, I will.
Definitely. And since we're talking about autism right now, we have the wonderful Beatrice, a.k.a. the Venom, live on the line. She has a poem about autism that she's about to do for us, and it's a very wonderful poem. So I want you guys to listen in, and you know, hope get your napkins and stuff and everything. You know what I'm saying? And then get your snaps together, cause we're gonna go in. So Venom, you about to spit it for us? Cause Venom must spit right now. Go ahead, Venom.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna do three, and I'm just gonna do this one, and then maybe cause I'll remember the other two. But I'm going to do the one that I remember right now, which I wrote when my son was about 3, maybe 4 years old. It's called Unspoken Words, and it's kind of short, but, you know, kind of self-explanatory, and it goes. And they said you'd probably never speak, although it took 4 long years, or shall I say 208 weeks. In their eyes, you were never supposed to be the intelligent human being that you are to me. But who are they to tell us that you are just a maybe baby, a might fighter? We did all we can do, kid. Much more than that you are. You're like a knight in shining armor, star so bright you lighten up my life. A God-sent child like baby Jesus, so precious in my sight. Before the spoken words came, body language, facial expressions, gestures, unspoken words for my baby boy. No love lost, no added pressure. Because I've always heard the words, even the ones you'd never speak, through your eyes, your smiles, your hugs, and through the dimples in your cheeks. Though silence is golden, from under water you shall emerge, with unspoken words being nothing more than words left unheard. Peace on that.
Wow.
That's my unspoken words.
Wow.
And I wrote that when he was a kid. He was just, like, outside playing, and I was on the porch just watching him play, and I was just writing. He couldn't even talk then, And I just wrote that unspoken word because a lot of people don't think just because they're not vocal or they don't verbalize words, they do communicate. A lot of them communicate, like I said, through their hugs, their smiles, body language, gestures. My son is so visual that he'll write me notes. You know, he can speak. You know, a lot of his speech is just to initiate. He initiates conversation only when it meets his needs, which is really, like, they talk about how autistic that is. That's a smart thing. I mean, if you don't speak until you need something, I don't see anything wrong with that. What perfect time to speak when you need something? So, you know, he has his own little way of communicating, and, you know, he does what he does, and it works for him. It works for me, so I'm good.
Definitely, definitely. Christina, once again, they're asking in the chat room, what's your email? Is it it's ChristinaMendez@gmail.com?
No, ChristinaMendezPress@gmail.com.
Press. Okay.
Like P-R-E-S-S.
Okay.
I can't get in the chat room. How can I get in the chat room?
The chat room is, the chat room, you have to go into, you got to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/radio online and go in through there. And so through the main site, it's just gonna, you're just gonna be able to just listen and stuff like that. But the other thing, in a few minutes we're gonna go in and we're gonna switch gears and, you know, we're gonna have a women's forum. Right now we're talking about autism, living with it. Ladies, once again, any final thoughts, you know, for some advice for these parents and that are going through these situations, you know, how can they, you know, warning signs at an early age, and when should we tell our, say that, oh, something is wrong? What is the first thing we should do when we know that something is wrong, and how do we cope with it as a parent? Ladies,
I'll say some of the early warning signs are them gritting their teeth. If they take their teeth and they're like clanking it together, doing things repetitively, spinning around in circles. Sometimes it's like their equilibrium is off balance. Not being able to vocalize any type of words by a particular age. I know people always say all kids are different, but if they're not speaking by a certain age, you know, X amount of words, I think it's something that you should, you know, bring to your pediatrician's attention. But definitely one of the things I noticed was the gritting of the teeth and doing a lot of things for self-stimuli, like taking the fist, you know, bumping it up against their chin, wailing and flapping, which is like maybe like spinning in circles, you know, things like that. There's a lot of characteristics to an autistic child, and my son shared most of them. He's been trained, like, you know, Mo said, he's been pretty much trained to, you know, to kind of fit in with everyday society and be kind of normal. But those are some of the early warning signs. And my thing is, like, for parents, especially young mothers, please do not be in denial. You know what I mean? If you think something is wrong, then it's worth going to see if there is something wrong or if there's something different. And there's nothing wrong with having a child that has a uniqueness, that is not like every other child, that when they're out and about, they're acting like they could possibly be autistic. At least when your son does something that society considers abnormal, you know why. But when you're looking at kids who aren't diagnosed, they're not up under any IEP, and they're doing some of those things, it makes you wonder. So don't be in denial. I mean, it is what it is, and early intervention is very important. The longer you let it go, you know, without, you know, acknowledging it, the worse it will be. So my thing is get on it. Don't be in denial. I mean, I wasn't in denial. I was like, yo, something's different. He was 9 months. He's been in school since he was 2. He's 17. He's a straight A student. He just competed in the Olympics the other day, the Special Olympics. He knows he's very musically inclined. He's into art, and he's thriving. So that's my suggestion. Just and cope with it. I mean, deal with it. I mean, it is what it is. It's life. We all are autistic in some way, shape, form, or fashion. You know.
Definitely. And Christina, yeah, some of the warning signs and some of your advice and stuff to the parents out there.
Yeah, that's Benham pretty much broke it down. It just varies between child, and as a parent, you have a gut feeling. You know when something is wrong, so don't ignore the warning signs that you feel. Just like when a guy is cheating on you, girls, we know exactly what's going on, like way before we know it. So it's the same thing with your child. We have just a motherly instinct, a female instinct to know when something is not feeling right. So if it doesn't feel right, it doesn't kill to see a doctor and him to say, oh, you know, you're overreacting. Then at least you tried. You know, at least you didn't ignore the signs. The quicker you find out, the better the outcome is. Like Venom said, early intervention is key. Both of our children were diagnosed around 2, so that's a great age. And again, as soon as you know, don't think this is the end of the world. You can hear our success stories, and there's a lot of other people who actually claim that they've cured their child from autism and all type of stuff. So there is hope. Don't, you know, go into the worst case scenario. Just be a fighter. Be prepared to fight. Be prepared to study. Be prepared to just learn, because you're going to have to learn with your child, and you're going to have to fight for your child every day. And it's never going to stop, and it's always going to get harder, but always also be faithful, you know, have faith in God. If God has given you this child, it's because he has already given you all the tools you need to, you know, break through this outcome and break through this issue. So don't worry, you have everything inside. He gave them to you, not to anyone else, because he knows that you can deal with this. So that's just my closing.
Definitely. And basically, you know, all of you children out there are beautiful, no matter what you are, whatever difference to everything you're going through. And the parents, you guys, you know, don't think you're the only one out there going through this. There's a lot of parents that are going through it, you know, and we need to come together and, you know, share the information, because a lot of this information that was given today can definitely help another parent out there that's going through that or might not even be aware. So, you know, this is why we do this, you know, to give out information. We're going to switch gears in a quick second, and we're going to go ahead and give powwow with the ladies that are on the line, you know, because they're women in business, you know, and we got to support one another. So we're going to talk to Christina and Venom and talk about some of the other things that they do, you know, and Christina is definitely looking hot on that new Ashley Stewart website and everything. I got to go get me some Ashley Stewart now, you know.
Thank you.
You know, and she's looking hot on there, man. You got to definitely check out AshleyStewart.com and check her out on there. She's on the tags and on the intimates and all the different things on there, so you'll check her out on there. So we're going to come back and talk more about that. We're going to talk about Venom and all the wonderful things she does, and my beautiful, wonderful Emma E2K, and we're going to talk about our Kris Kringle Drive, giving back to the young children out there in the New York area that are not going to be able to provide a Christmas for themselves, or their parents aren't going to have enough, you know. And we also have a homeless shelter that we're going to be providing some toys for this year. So we're going to be talking about that when we come right back. But this song is dedicated to all the beautiful women out there and all the queens out there and all the beautiful children out there. Christina Aguilera, you are beautiful. And we'll be right back on Street Queens, the movement. All hail the queens.
Every day is so wonderful.
love me some Christina Aguilera. I love me some Christina Aguilera. I love Aguilera.
I love her. But you're joining us right now. We were talking about living with autism, and we had the wonderful and beautiful Christina Mendez live on us. You can follow her on Twitter, Christina Mendez on Twitter. And definitely, you know, follow her and talk with her. She's a wonderful young lady. And I definitely need to thank Strictly for the promo, M&S Media, Ernest Jackson for providing us with that wonderful interview with her. Christina Mendez, she's an actress, model, definitely a spokesmodel for Ashley Stewart. She's done Baby Fat. She's done so many different things. She's been on BET Rip the Runway. She's been on the Today Show, Law and Order. You know, she's been on, she's part of the Autism Speaks Puzzle Builder. Also on a Bolt Bus commercial, which I take that bus a lot. It's very inexpensive. Shout out to Bolt Bus. And she's been on the 2010 Essence Magazine. And also June 2010, Tyra.com, and May 2010, The Source Magazine. And she's been on a lot of magazines. But make sure you check out AutismSpeaks.org and definitely support everything she has going on with that. And definitely check out her celebrity birthday parties. When she have her birthday parties, they be off the hook. I don't know. Maybe me and Emma and all of us might have to come together and do a whole Pisces thing, man. This is crazy, man. I didn't even know she was a Pisces. That was ridiculous, Em. That was crazy.
Oh, that's hot.
I know.
I'm feeling that.
Definitely. And we got Venom Live in the line with us. I'm gonna tell you that when I first met, I think I met Venom maybe around the time, same time I think I met Emma. And Venom, you know, I love her for her poetry and how descriptive she is and how passionate she is as a woman, you know, to just, you know, strive and with everything that she deals with her son and everything. Being a woman and the challenges of being a woman in general in business, you know, people don't understand. We're already a minority and we're a woman, so we got to work extra hard than a man. You know, we don't got that thing swinging in between our legs, you know what I'm saying, and that machismo. So we got to kick in doors with our heels harder, you know. Definitely. And this woman, I give her praise because she has, you know, seen the adversities of dealing with people, you know, and it was it's crazy that, you know, she's become a strong woman. And I told her, I said, you know what, you're going to succeed in whatever you do because you are a strong woman. You don't need anybody that's going to cause nonsense or craziness. I said, you can do anything you want to do. And she surrounds herself with positive people in order to do what she has to do. And like me, Emma, and her, we're all strong businesswomen. And sometimes it is hard for individuals and women to work together because we're catty. We admit it, we are catty. And we're very emotional beings, you know. And sometimes some of us women, that what I have noticed and me and Emma have noticed, if you surround yourself with women that don't actually have their own business going on and they're not strong bosses themselves, they literally latch on to a situation to actually come up on your come up. And we've noticed that. You know, going through our dropping like flies of street queens that we've had. But we've had some street queens that have stayed with us on the long run, you know. So, you know, we learn, you know, the good and the bad. But Venom is a wonderful poet, an advocate for autism. Along with that, she's a panelist. I mean, she's, you know, all those hair magazines that you see all the fly ladies with the hot hairstyles. She's in those. You know, she's a spokesmodel. She does a lot of things, and she supports women to the fullest. And she has the hottest mohawk I've seen in my life. When you're going to go vote, she had the whole check in her hair and everything. Like, she does crazy mohawks. I love it. And it's hot. And it's sexy on her. And then she got the whole, when Venom, she took it to the next level. She got a whole tattoo of a Venom on her back, a freaking snake. It's crazy. But
her whole personality is different than anybody I've ever met, and she's strong and she's hardworking, and I respect her so much, you know, and I always love to have her on there. But, Venom, I want you to go ahead and, you know, tell the people you in depth, you know, what, you know, inspired you to get into the industry and some of the adversities that you deal with as a woman business owner.
Wow. I didn't even know I was in the industry. No, I came in actually as a poet, and they discovered that they liked my look. They thought I was a model, and since that's what they thought, me and my stylist have been working together for a while, for like 4 years. Shout out to Angie Smith, Studio 29, Union City, Georgia. Y'all go cop a style from her, just not a mohawk. But she's been working with me for so long, and ever since she cut my hair in a mohawk, my whole career just took a whole 360. Everybody wanted my image. But not only that, you know, I'm very charismatic. I'm very outgoing. For some reason, people that were in the industry just found me appealing, and they were able to come up to me and speak from Chris Tucker to being photographed with Bernice King to the CEO Vernon Jones to artists that are underground that have already made it. Everybody wants to know who I am. So when you see me, it's almost like you never seen me before, but when you see me, it's like she got to do something. She doesn't have a normal job looking like that. So a lot of people, the hair might pull you in, but once you get and sit and talk to me, then there are things that will keep you there. So being in the industry, one of the biggest adversities is being a woman. You know, everybody wants to lay you for something, especially, you know, when they see you photographed with this person, that person, they see you with this label, this artist. A lot of people are just lazy. They don't want to do the groundwork, not knowing that it took me like 8.5 years almost to get to where I am, and I'm still not even probably halfway where I want to be. You know, I still have bigger dreams, you know, bigger goals to reach. So I'm still on my climb up as well. So I can't have anybody holding on to my coattail trying to pull them up the ladder as well. So a lot of people, they try to use you, you know, as a woman. You know, they want to sleep with you just like a lot of these women that are groupies to male artists. Men want to sleep with me too because they think it will advance their career. But I'm sorry, you know, you got to work hard just like I worked hard. And one of the things I do want to say before I get off the phone, I have a new baby that I just birthed. It's called the Hotlanta Report. I just started it October the 4th, and what it is, it's an international electronic blast that I send out to over 150,000 subscribers. It's real cool. It has a lot of people who basically are advertising their businesses, they buy ad spaces, so it's a good way to brand your company. You know, I advertise, market, and promote other artists, other companies, other entrepreneurs in my e-blast, and that's what I have going on right now. It's the Hotlanta Report, and if anybody is seriously interested, you can call me 404-447-8464. Serious inquiries only. Please don't send any more pictures of your private parts, fellas. No more. Please stop.
Wow.
Ouch. Stop.
Ow. Ow.
Wow. Wow. That's what's up, man.
I'm just being real. That's how hard it is in the industry. But I'm focused. I have tunnel vision. A lot of obstacles that were in my way before or not there, and we all know the obstacles are set in our path for us to overcome them. So me having a strong backbone, you know, carrying a lot of weight on my own is what helped me get through those adversities. So I'm good, y'all. I'm real good.
Yeah, you feel good. And I'm so proud of you, Venom, because I remember you call me, you be like, girl, I don't know about you. I said, you just stick in there, girl, man. Don't give up. Because Venom is such a strong woman and a strong personality, you know, and she's doing so well now. If you see, she got so much of an influence in Atlanta, it's crazy, and she's a powerhouse. And I am so proud of her right now. I'm so proud of her. Tell me, you got any questions for Venom?
No, I think she went through the whole, you know, explanation and really pinpointed the fact about, you know, being a female in the industry and all that, and everybody always want to know your name, everybody's always envying your life without even knowing what it, exactly what you're going through behind closed doors, like, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of friends of mine that be like, oh, man, yo, I wish that I was like you and I live your life. I'm like, no, you don't, because you only see what I let you see. You know, you don't, you're not coming to my house and watching, hearing my screaming kids and meet bunnies at the hospital, and my daughter, and, you know, all the type of, or everything that entails my life, really. All this picture and cute stuff. Yeah, we need to be sexy because that's, you know, we're females, so that, you know, we're going to be with the high heels and take the sexy pictures or whatever, because it is what it is. We have to feel sexy as women, but that's not all that there is. There's, you know, actually we have brains and we think and, you know, and in order to sign the checks and all that, we have to know who we sign them to. And, you know, it just takes a lot of other stuff than just the looks on the outside. But we do catch them that way. And then once they sit with us, like you say, you know, once they get to know us and they love us, then they can't leave us alone.
That's real tough. Emma, Venom is going to submit us a poem to put in the Street Queens the Movement inspirational book that we're going to put out next year. So she's going to submit some
I'm looking forward to receiving it.
Thank you.
Definitely.
And Venom, put out your email address and Twitter and Facebook and all that information for the people so they can definitely get in contact with you, sis.
Definitely. My email is FE period, which is short for female. So it's Frank Edward period. Entertainment spelled all the way out, 101@gmail.com. So it's FE period entertainment 101@gmail.com. I'm on Black Planet, MySpace, and Facebook. My /is Venom Must Spit. On Facebook, I can't get any more friends. I've had 5,000 friends for about a month, and I have like 2,000 waiting in the queue. So you can't be my friend, but you can send me messages. And I'm on MySpace, if anybody in history is still on there, and I'm on Black Planet as well.
Wow, so Black Planet, she's get back. Wow.
I love it. It's old school.
Let me tell y'all something about Black Planet, y'all, okay, and everybody that's listening. Okay, everybody's been in the social media competition, right? So there's Facebook, there's MySpace, and there was Black Planet, Mi Gente, and Asian Avenue back in the day, right? Okay. Black Planet, I can honestly say that I went on Black Planet yesterday, and I changed my – everybody and their mothers on it. I thought Black Planet was dead. They're more interactive than Facebook. They have the instant messenger. They have real-time chat rooms. You can actually put up stuff up there. It's so interactive. Mm-hmm. It's like you can honestly be like addicted to it now, Black Planet. So if you have an old Black Planet page, I would suggest for you to go back on and start using that to promote also, because
I do
a lot of
links in the chat room all the time.
Yeah.
You
can go
on
there.
And you know what's so funny? I'm a moderator.
Wow.
In like all of the chat rooms, I'm a moderator because I've gotten super friends, like the owner or whoever of Black Planet contacted me, and they like made me a moderator. So I can go in chat rooms and I like put all these links on it. It's so funny because at first they're like, oh God, there's a moderator in here. She's going to kick us out, da 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 da. So I have to gain everybody's trust, you know, send them all these messages and say, no, 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 I'm a normal person like you. Well, why are you a moderator? Why is that icon? But she's not lying. It's very much alive. There are so many people. There's so many different chat rooms and there are so many people in them. And it's very active. Like, I have, like, 13,000 friends on MySpace. I don't even try to add anymore. I went on last night, and only 14 people were online. So it just goes to show you no one's using MySpace.
Wow.
Yeah, MySpace is not winning the race right now. I did a comparison because we're all social network gurus, and I looked online, and I'm doing a comparison, right, and I'm like, look, check it out. MySpace is not eating at all, okay? So, like, MySpace, if you're on there, you can be on there if you choose to. But right now, I'm going to tell you, Black Planet is back to the – now they got Radio 1 and TV 1 backing them. So, you know, they got all the Radio 1 clear channels backing them. They have money behind them now. So they don't put all the interactive – any interactive thing you would have had thought of thinking about, they have it on Black Planet right now. Even
what
Facebook
about you remember?
Facebook.
What about you don't remember your black password? I was like, hold on, I can't remember.
If you can't remember, my homeboy just made a new one. So just make a new one and start advertising, because I just changed mine. And I went back. I remembered my password though, because I don't know. I can keep it in my head. And I went back in there, and I'm telling you, you throw links in there, people click on them because they're nosy, and they have. I mean, and they're real time. They're active.
I'm on it right now, girl. I'm on it.
Make sure that you definitely, if you're in the social media networking, make sure that you definitely log on to blackplanet.com. If you don't remember your password, try a new one. They got the whole thing like Twitter, where you put the Twitter and the messages go down. They also, it's crazy. The interaction on it is ridiculous. And you can do so many things with that. And also, once again, like I said, ladies that are in business, get Skype, Uhu. Me and Emma use Skype to virtually have meetings with each other if we can't be in that state. If I need to talk to somebody, you can use Uhu or Skype. And some people use Skype as their own phone system also, and they can redirect it to their phone. Also, you have Google Voice. It's free, yes. It's free for download. If you want to call, like, out of the country, sometimes I can. You can actually dial out. I call my aunt in Africa through Skype, and it's, like, 9 cents. But if she has a webcam, it's free. I can talk to somebody in Africa free. I talk to a lot of people in Italy free through Skype. You know, so you can network and build businesses with people through Skype. There's no barrier because we're in the United States. We can conduct business via the internet, you know. So you can get Skype, you can get Uhu. Also on top of that, Google has Google Voice. Google has created so many interactive, you know, features that you can add. You know, they have Google Voice that you can use as your phone line to redirect to your phone as your business phone, you know. You can actually dial out through Google also. So it's so many different things that we can do, you know, to definitely enhance our business. They have cheap 1-800 numbers out there online. 1-800 for me. They got answering services for you, K9 or Call 8 for you ladies out there, you know, that are looking for answering services that are free. And they also save as WAV files that you can send for people to do drops for you and stuff. So, people, we have to definitely, you know, this is a technological time right now. Right now we're I'm always tongue-tied right there. We're advanced in technology right now. That there's no reason why we should be back in the cave somewhere not knowing what's going on, you know, and definitely take advantage of the outsource of what our sister has on here, Venom, with the email blast. Like, she's touching people all over there, and you know, and she's working with people that are willing to work, and we're cooking up some stuff, me and Venom. We're cooking up some stuff. So preparing going into 2010 is also, I'm gonna tell you more about it, Emma. If we're going into 2011 on some real big stuff, you know. We about to destroy this whole. We about to take a whole conglomerate. We about to put Clear Channel, all these cats, you know what I'm saying, to sleep, man, for real, and stuff. We about to build some serious conglomerate stuff.
Let's rock 'em.
It's gonna be crazy next year. And confirm the day. My dude that does the custom chairs. If you're looking for a custom chair, he does custom barber chairs. But he can make it into you can get a regular chair, a salon chair. His name is Buck, and he can actually deliver the chair. You tell him this color scheme. He can make a custom chair. You can put Venom on the back of it with a serpent. You can put Emma E2K, and it could be purple. He can diamond it out. He can bedazzle it. He can put the cushions in there that she could put all her lip glosses and stuff, and it can fold in. If you want it into a sexual nature chair, he can put, you know, vibrators in there or whatever he want to do.
Wow.
Or he can put a TV in there. He can do anything you want. And he just confirmed today, you know, after I take care of a certain situation with him, I might be the first woman's chair he might do. So, hey,
We'll talk about it. You know what I'm saying? We'll talk about it. So, and if you want that information, go to Facebook and add him and tell him that you heard that from Lush Radio Online. Add him and stuff. His name is Buck, and it's called Custom Barber Chairs on Facebook, and add him and ask him more. He has pictures of different ones, anything you want. You know, you can, if you want to put a face on there, on the back of your chair, on the body, you can, he can put anything on it. And they also do any, if you got leather jackets or anything, they do that too. Anything you want, they got it. You know, so definitely, you know, holler at Buck. And I'm going to throw out his phone number for you guys also out there if y'all want that information. If you want that information, I'm going to throw the phone number out there. This is exclusive, you know what I'm saying, live on Street Queens The Movement. It's 917-553-1619, 917-553-1619, and tell them you heard it off of Lush Radio Online, okay? And definitely contact Buck about getting that custom chair for you. And they deliver and everything. You just tell them what kind of piece you want and stuff. They can make the stuff chrome if you want, you know? I mean, the stuff is crazy. It's crazy. Like, you know how they go to them chop shops and they do the they soup up the cars. It's like you souping up a chair. It's crazy. You can put hydraulics on the joint. You know. So that's how it is. So it's he was live on the line and stuff, but it's just, you know, being a woman, you know, requires a lot, and I think that, you know, all of us as women need to come together and definitely, you know, be able to work with one another, because as women, you know, I mean, it's hard enough just being one, you know. But Emma, I want to go ahead and throw it to you. I need you to give out that information about the Kris Kringle Drive that goes on each and every year. This is the 9th annual one. This is will be like my third or second year with Emma doing this with Street Queens The Movement. But Emma, go ahead and give out that information and exactly what inspired that whole situation.
Well, this year, we're honored to be sponsored by Mimosa's Lounge. A girlfriend of mine, she's also a business owner. She owns her own lounge. Her name is Monique. Shout out to Monique. And she's letting us hold our 9th annual Kris Kringle Drive. We had a fundraiser last week, and it was very successful. The pictures are posted up on the Facebook /EmmaE2K. You can go check out last year's photos of our toy drive and for the fundraiser. We raised a lot. We're still raising. There's still people going every day, dropping off stuff in Mimosa's Lounge. I'm going actually down there to New York tomorrow to take another carload full of gifts, of toys. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And that's on December 22nd, which is a Wednesday. If you're in the New York City area, make sure you make it to 1237 Castle Hill Avenue, and that's between Ellis and Newbold Avenue in the Bronx, Bronx, New York, 10462, and the place is called Mimosa's Lounge. And we're going to be there giving our toys to the community, kids, all children. We also have a shelter for teen moms with their kids. For some reason this year they weren't be able to get some funds up, so they're coming through and we're going to be able to provide toys for them. There's a mother that has about 8 kids that one of our street queens, Lizette, ran it to my attention, and she notified the mother, and the mother will be coming down with her kids to also get gifts for the kids. And there's a couple other stories just like that, so too much to mention, but there's a lot of mothers, especially this year in this recession, mothers that have multiple, you know, more than one child, is hard to be able to get good gifts for them. So we ask everybody to come through. It doesn't have to be kids in a homeless. You can have your own apartment and drive a car or whatever. It's just times are hard. You know, let your child come through and get a gift. We say that it takes a village to raise children. So I just kind of called out to the village of the Bronx or New York City. And, you know, and give back to the kids, man. The kids need to know that the community that they live in really cares about them. And once you show a child they care, they can actually soar to, you know, to higher goals. So that's just kind of like one of the main reasons why we're on our 9th year, and next year will be our 10th. And, you know, this year, out of all years, actually has been the most that I can really say that people have come out as a unit and really showed me that I wasn't wasting my time in doing these type of functions and giving back. So I'm very proud. Out of all the years, I'm the most proud this year because people have come out of the, I mean, I have professors from Moreau College. They have a class, a business class for some women. And the class sent a money order of $100 for the toy drive. So it's just like stories that like that that has just been real touching. And, again, I'm the most proud of this year. Everybody stepping out, coming out to support this Kris Kringle drive. So I know it's going to be a huge success. And I'm just looking forward to seeing them kids' faces and just looking for them coming in and just, you know, grabbing what they want.
Definitely, definitely. And another thing, you know, we definitely need support. And we want to still once again thank all the people that came out and supported us for the Give Thanks dinner in November. They felt that we were able to feed a lot of you know, single parents and parents, or even people just didn't have it at this time. We're in a recession, you know, so and some homeless out there. So, you know, thanks everybody that came through for that. And we thank everybody for the support. Like, I've never seen, like, we've been usually coming out of our pockets. Me and Emma, we come out of our pockets. And I mean, we've never seen so much of an outpour of people donating to provide these smiles on these children's faces. You know, and all I can say is that thank God to everybody that's pouring out and thinking about someone other than themselves this year. You know, so we definitely thank God for everybody. And also, Shepherd's Cove, which is like the only is in Maryland, Prince George's County, is the only women's shelter in PG County. They right now need hats and gloves for the children over there at Shepherd's Cove, and they house almost like 100 women in the shelter. It's located at 1400 Deanwood Lane, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20743. The phone number to them is 301-223-0093. You can call them and ask them what they need. They need twin sheets for the beds, clean sheets for the beds for the babies and cribs and stuff like that. They need hats and gloves for the winter and cleaning supplies and things like that. You have to talk to them in regards to toys and things like that, a gift package. But so I'll be getting some hats and gloves and stuff and taking that over to them so they can have for the kids and stuff like that. So that's another thing I'm going to do out here. But I will be in New York next week with Emma. We'll be giving out toys. So we need your support, man. You know, we're little people over here, but we try to give back as much as we can, you know what I mean? So
we're giving a big way. We're little people that give in a big way, and you got these big people that don't even give in a little way. Shame, shame on you. Tisk, tisk.
Tisk, tisk, you know, definitely. Are there any things going down down in ATL, Venom, that people need to know about in regards to giving back or anything like that, or resources for people if they do need help with Christmas stuff?
You know what? They always do food drives here. Hosea Williams Feed the Homeless. That is something that they always do. Me personally, I'm not involved with that. That is something that I did say coming into 2011 that I will be taking more part in nonprofit organizations. That's one of the things. Actually, that's my New Year's resolution and, you know, and so forth ongoing. That's one of the things that I want to do. And I'm going to make sure that I do that, just be more involved with nonprofit organizations because there are a lot of people who are less fortunate, who don't have the means or, for that matter, just they're here not only homeless. A lot of them feel hopeless because they don't have family. It's just them. They're here. They have nobody. You know, the holidays are coming. That's a lonely moment for some people who are together with family. So just imagine how it is for people who aren't, you know, with anybody. So there are a lot of organizations here. I know Jeezy is doing a toy drive, Jeezy Santa Claus in the Hood, you know. So they're doing a lot of toy drives and stuff here now, canned good drives and things like that. There's nothing that me personally, shame on me, that I'm not involved in.
But that is my New Year's resolution, to be very, very hands-on coming into 2011 with nonprofit organizations.
Awesome. Look forward for you to tell us, listen, with Street Queens, we're doing this, and we behind you 100%. 100%.
Definitely. And what your New Year's resolution is to become more active in Street Queens, the movement, and stop playing around, stop making me have to hunt you down, you know? You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I just said that 2010 was a learning experience for me. I had to clean closets so many times, like from relationships, you know, with ex-fiancés, boyfriends, or people that just come and go and want to be seen with me, to people who want to be close associates that aren't really good company. So 2010 was a learning experience for me. And even though I don't talk to Mo all the time, whenever I talk to her, it's a feel-good moment. We talk long, we talk hard, and it's always something serious, you know, that we talk about. If it's not business, it's serious business. So it's good. And that's true. I do want to be a part of a movement that is prosperous, that's meaningful, and that my new thing is, progression is my profession. And I got to give a shout-out to my mentor, Pastor Gary Cornelius, for that one right there. So that's my new motto. Progression is my profession.
And look no further, that's us. You just described the Street Queens, that's us.
Yeah, you just described it. This is what, girl, you know what we had to go through just to go through to keep, you know, Emma's been my ace boon coon, you know, and I love all my queens and everyone that's been there and gone, but she's the one that's been my ace boon coon, you know what I'm saying, from day one. And it's hard to find somebody that's going to stick by you, you know, and, you know, sometimes we cuss each other out and everything, but she's my sister.
A lot of times.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot of times.
But I love her to death, and whatever it is, whatever she needs me to do, you know what I'm saying, I'm there for her, and you know, we support one another, and that's what it's about. And, you know, we try to light that flame, you know what I'm saying, with other females to come and work together. And earlier, prior, I did a show at 6 o'clock with, Miss Black America metro area. And she lost her parents. Her mother was killed in cold blood. She rose above that and got a master's degree, owns her own business, and is the reigning 2010 Miss Black America. And I know me and Emma talked prior before, and when we had our other queens, we talked about doing a queen for the day, and that's the passion thing that I've been wanting to do for a while. So she actually said that she would like to be involved with that as being a queen, Miss Queen, Black Queen of America, Miss America, to come. And actually, I would like to have some of these children, if we can go into some of these homeless shelters in areas, you know, whether it's in the DMV or New York, and we can, you know, get these ladies and, you know, make them feel like they have hope. You know, we'll provide the pictures for them. You know, we'll provide a makeup artist, all that. And, you know, just make them look pretty, take them out, you know, make them feel good, you know what I'm saying, for a day or so, you know. And, you know, provide them.
I got something better. Just hold on to the following week. I got something better. I'm telling you, I got something better. Just hold on to the following week. We'll announce it in 2011. I got something better.
we'll announce it in 2011. But she would like to be a part of whatever we got going on, Em, so I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. And it's great because she is a queen. You know, she's Miss Black America. So, you know, that's a good look right there, you know.
Yeah.
So to have her be a part of that would be great. And Venom, you already know you're an honorary street queen, but you know what I'm saying? I need you to be that rep out there in ATL, man. For us, man. You know, next year they need to get ready because we're gonna start doing these women conferences and these women powwows, and you're gonna be one of those hosts out there, man. So we're going to come down and invade ATL. We're going to invade ATL. We got to get all these women that say they about their business to come through and let's chop shop, you know. So
I'm looking forward to that. There are a lot of movers and shakers here. There are a lot of powerhouses here. One of I love her, Kim Ellis from KE Consulting. I don't care what anybody says. Like, for example, you know, that's just one of the women that is down here behind the scenes doing her thing. And there are many others as well, you know, from different ethnicities, different walks of life that are definitely doing their things. I pay homage to a lot of them secretly. Some of them don't know, but Kim is very aware. So,
yeah,
I'm ready.
Kim Ellis definitely goes hard in the paint. So, I mean, we're from all the way across the board. We got ladies all over representing, and we invading Atlanta, and we going to hit you, and we're going to go back up to New York, and we're going to try to hit a Cali. We going all over, and then we're going to put this book out, and
yes,
we're going to be on the pop. So
we're
going
to
get that. You know, Street Queens, the movement, we going in hard body. It's about to be turned up another notch, man. So people get prepared. And ladies, if you are interested in being a part of Street Queens, the movement, you can either email either one of us. You can email Emma at e2konthespot@gmail.com or e2kmagazine@gmail.com or lushradioonline@gmail.com. If you would like to be interested of being a part of Street Queens, the movement, and being a part, a network of women that are bosses that, you know, help one another. We support you. Don't be scared because we do the same thing. That doesn't mean anything. I can support you on whatever you're doing. Let's go. This is what it's about. Like we said, you know, no matter, you know, if we can't stand certain people, but once again, teamwork does make the dream work. You feel me, Venom? Still. For real. You know what I'm saying? But that's what it is, man. Street Queens, the movement, you know, helping different people from all different diversities. And what'd you say, sweetie?
Voice of the people.
We are the voice of the people. We are the voice of the people, you know. So we speak for everybody. We speak for those women that can't speak. We speak for those children that have autism that can't speak. We speak for the cancer patients. We speak for the people out there in artists and stuff that can't get their voice out there. We speak for the poets that they won't allow them to get their platform. We speak for everybody. So we are the people's voice. So we support one another. And, you know, this is a family movement, you know. Ben is my family. Everybody's my family. Let's work together and let's make some things. And I got a wonderful poem by Venom called Runaway Slave. And some of us are living in modern-day slavery, and we really are not aware of it. And a lot of us need to stop thinking in that slave mentality and start pushing forward, because the only person that is your weakest link that can hold you down is yourself, and never allow yourself to be stagnated in life. You know, and when we move on to things, make sure we're a full cup, because sometimes we live a facade that we're basically full, but we're not. We haven't got rid of the dead weight in our lives. If you look through your phone in 2010 and you haven't done anything with half of those people that are in there, that are your contacts, think about some kind of steps that you need to come together to make some things work. And if these people have not helped you spiritually, mentally, financially, or in any way or form or form to progress yourself in your life, they need to be deleted out of your phone, because that's dead weight and temptation. And the devil is a liar, and you don't need it in your life. You heard? So you definitely need to, you know, step up, you know, as one of our street queens said before, our pastor told her, every setback is a setup for a step up. So when that door closes, another door is opening for you. And every time when you're getting close to your blessings, the devil will try to attack you in every shape or form, and even the closest person you might love. So please, people, you know, definitely come together. And I have to say a prayer for my people out there that's going through it. Oh, Heavenly Father, I call upon you because you are an awesome God, a wonderful God, a good God. And there's some people out there listening to us right now on Lush Radio Online, Street Queens, the movement, and they are going through it. They might not be able to afford Christmas gifts. They might not be able to feed their children. They might be dealing with illnesses. They might not be knowing if they're going to be able to pay their rent the next day, or if how they're going to be able to provide for their child, or mentally they're not stable. God, please, God,
please provide your help and put your mercy on them, God, and guide them and clear their mind of all the cloudiness and let them be able to focus on the bigger picture, God, and calm them and pull them into your bosom, God, and please give them everything that they desire, God, because sometimes you might not come when we want them, but you know you're always on time, God, and you're a good God, and without you there is no us, God. And all I say is that for all those people listening and for all my beautiful queens, please watch over their children, bless their children, make them strong to go through whatever they're going through, God, and watch over me and my whole entire family and everybody's family out there. Let them be strong and stay warm through, and the parents that don't have a home or shelter, provide them with shelter this year because they're going through it, God. Because you are a good God and an awesome God. And in your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And God is all the time, you know. And I just want to say that, you know, this was, you know, a great show tonight. I want to thank Christina Mendez. You know, she dropped some serious jewels. You can follow her on Twitter and also on Facebook, Christina Mendez. You can follow Venom, Venom Must Spit / MySpace / Facebook / Black Planet. Okay, all right. And Emma E2K, make sure you capitalize the E because she will have a fit. Emma
you.
E2K at Twitter.
It's a form of respect. It's a form of respect. I'm just saying, capital E. And I'm saying I'm a grown-ass woman. I'm not a little girl.
Oh, man. Emma E2K on Facebook and everything. And make sure that you definitely check out www.e2kmagazineonline.com. And support that. We have one more caller on the line. Caller, how you doing today? 347. We about to wrap it up and everything. Peace though. How you doing? 347.
Yo, I'm mad late. What up, cuz?
What up?
Let's radio. Big baby. E2K magazine. Big baby. We here, y'all. Yeah, y'all mad late, so my bad, I have a little razzle-dazzle. But I'm in the building, son, I'm here, I made it, son. Come on, 10 o'clock tonight,
okay,
son.
Okay, cousin, wow, okay. This.
Yeah, everybody gotta get up, son. Nah, son, everybody gotta be energetic, son. Everybody gotta stop going to sleep. Everybody gotta get up, enjoy the night. I just want to say, look at here. I appreciate everybody for coming out for the show tonight, although I wasn't there. It's okay, everybody. It's all good. Look at here. Hope everybody had a good time. I love my cousin. I love Emma, all the other listeners and everybody up in here that made this Lush Radio E2K Magazine do their thing. I love y'all, and that's all I got to say. From Boss in Brooklyn, all day, every day. You heard?
That's what's up, cuzzo. I love you, man. Oh, my God. I love you,
cuzzo. That's it,
though. Yo. Hey, yo. I love my cousin. Shout out to her.
I love
team
her, too.
Boss Lady on Facebook, B-O-S-S-I, Boss Lady on, yes, B-O-S-S-L. ADI Boss Lady on Facebook. Make sure you follow her. She's full of energy. She'll have you laughing and cracking up. and make sure you support everybody at Lush Radio Online, www.lushradioonline.com. We'll be posting up this show actually on Facebook. You know, enjoy yourself this Christmas. And you know, it's not about Christmas gifts, and it's not about, you know, this marketing scheme they have. It's all about, you know, being able to be with that loved one, you know, because, you know, tomorrow is important to anybody. So, you know, love one another, you know, love peace and nappiness and chicken grease, you know what I'm saying? And you know, one day I want to be able to inspire to be like Venom and rock that mohawk, because I think I might do one day and stuff. I might just put my mohawk next to hers. I love it, man. I love it to death. But we're going to go into Runaway Slave
by Venom. And Venom, Ernest Jackson of M&S Media said that your poem gave him goosebumps and stuff.
Oh.
So that's what he said. So I love everybody. I love y'all ladies. And we're going to be out of here. Street Queens, the movement. Positive people doing positive things. Runaway slave, Venom. I love you, Cuzzo. Peace.
That joint was hot, though. I mean, even though we like wrapping it up, but I just had to say it was hot.
I know we
was wrapping it up and stuff, but yo, she's awesome.
I guess 15 finger snaps.
Yo, 15, like 1,000. Like, I wish my feet could snap right now.
Uh oh. Get them toes to be snapping.
Definitely.
Definitely. Salute to Venom. She's awesome, man. So we out of here. We finally out. You know what I'm saying? But I just had to play that joint. That was hot. I'm going to have to just throw it on again just because. That was hot, though, for real. So love, peace, and happiness. I'm out of here. I just had to say it's hot. Peace.